Hey, I'm Kayla Hansen.
And I'm Crystal Blasco. We're sisters, home organizers, coffee
and cocktail lovers,
and hosts of this witty show, Well Ordered, Well Lived.
Grab your favorite beverage and join us as we have fun and curious conversations with ourselves and others about home solutions, family, and reinvesting in new experiences.
Let's do this.
Well, well, welcome to another episode of Well Ordered, Well Lived. I'm with my sister and co-host, Crystal Blasco, and today I just want to dive right into it because we have an in-house guest.
Woo!
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, that's how excited I am.
You're
okay,
so excited.
So today's guest is the founder and owner of Paladin Design House. She's a multi-talented interior designer and architect. She graduated with a professional bachelor's of architecture from the University of Notre Dame, where she studied classical architecture and urbanism. She lived in Rome for a little bit and partook in the urban and residential design of the beautiful Las Cantilenas in Costa Rica. This chick. Okay, this is a guest that I seriously know, you guys. We went to school together.
We're real life friends.
Seriously. So she's a friend of mine. Go back to high school days. Her smile is contagious. Her cheek dimples are something I truly envy. Molly Hannon is in the house, guys. How are you?
Hi. I'm going to cover my dimples. I feel like...
I'm so excited that you're... Okay, so we had our husbands in-house, and it was like we're on top of each other, and we had no idea what that was going to be like, and we weren't sure if we could have a guest here, and then we decided, yes, you're our first in-house guest, which makes it so exciting.
I feel very special.
I love being able to look across the table and see you.
Yeah, I know. This is exciting. We're like, well, we were planning on having, like, this episode, and we're like, yeah, we'll just call her in, mm-hmm. and then we're like... This is silly. What, she should be here. She's like a neighbor and she's a serious friend. So welcome.
Yeah,
thank you for taking time out of your busy. We'll talk about all that. But we just appreciate you and love to have you.
We're so excited.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay. Well, before we get any further, gosh, I'm already halfway done with my drink. Yeah, we had a pre-conversation that I should have just hit record on, but I just kept on drinking. But I am drinking a margarita. Molly, what are we drinking here?
I have a Vizzy.
Oh, which, not sponsored.
If they want to sponsor me, okay. I probably should own stock in the company by now. But it has antioxidants and vitamin C, so it's kind of a healthy choice.
I just saw the billboard for that where there was like another hard seltzer, and then it said, but we have antioxidants. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that.
That's the car.
Genius. That's so great.
They're really good.
What's the flavor you said?
This one is... pineapple mango, but you get the box, you get like four flavors.
Variety pack.
They're really, really good.
That's like a
very
tropical
festive
drink. Pineapple anything reminds me of just like being on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I need to be on a beach right now.
Gosh. Yeah. Same. I have a Deep Betty's Ruby Red Vodka grapefruit type thing.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Some concoction that Ryan made.
Well, he did really well.
Nice. He's our resident bartender.
Yeah, you have a mixologist. Yeah.
Can you text him and tell him that I'm going to need a new one?
Actually, I will. Yeah. I'll take a baby. I'll take a little baby.
Okay. A little baby. Okay.
As long as I can hang out after
this is
the
really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
I thought you were spending the night.
Oh, okay. Call my kid.
Let's get him on the line. Call him right now. Peter, sorry, this mom's not coming home tonight. Hanging out with the gals. Oh my gosh. Okay, so first and foremost, can I just talk about that? Do you remember that bachelorette trip that we went into? Because I was like kind of going down memory lane. I'm not going to go into it, but I was like, I have pictures of us still that I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that we were roommates for that.
Yeah.
And then you just brought up the trip to Gatlinburg.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
we had
just life has just gone so fast and we're still neighbors. I mean, we're only I don't know, 20 minutes away from each other or something. It's crazy. So I just want to tell you, I still have all those photos.
Aww.
And I just
I need one framed. We'll get them.
Well,
from
the one was a little blurry from the bachelorette one. And I don't mean just our minds. I mean, like, whoever was taking it, like, it was not in focus. But
do you remember we went to the wrong hotel?
Oh, yes.
And we saw people we knew, and we're like, hey, what's up? Yes. And they're like, yeah, you're not the right one. Like,
yeah. Oh, later. My gosh. No, that was so fun. But my sister and I were just talking. I was like, yeah, she graduated in 2004. I was 07. And then Crystal's like, you were 01.
2000.
Right? Oh, 2000. And so we call you our little Molly sandwich because you're right in the middle. I'm like, okay, well, I'm definitely bringing this. Okay. It's already happened. I was just going to tell you it's done.
This is Ryan.
So, oh my gosh. We're okay. All right. So, oh my gosh, our bartender is so angry. His hands are so full, he can't even open the door. Jeez. Thanks, Ryan.
Oh, my gosh.
Say hi.
Hello.
We are recording.
Thank you so much.
You need one of those recording and session signs.
Yeah, right. I'll just put...
I'll sit toe out now.
Thank you. All right, so now are we all drinking the same thing?
No.
No? Okay. I got my margarita,
yes, margarita
still. Okay, you guys are drinking that pretty drink. All right, well, cheers.
Cheers.
Holy crap. He filled it. Did you get that water out of here?
I know. I'm like, what do I do? Okay,
thanks. All right, Ryan. I'm back.
Paladin Design House. Yeah. Where did that name come from?
So Paladin is kind of a dual purpose name. So a paladin is an advocate for a cause, someone who really kind of, I guess, has the best... Oh, my gosh. Sweet. Oh my,
we just got cookies
quite
delivered.
The butler here.
You just better be warm. Oh, my God, they are.
Oh, my gosh. So adorable.
This is how in-house guests are treated, okay?
I love it. So true. If they ever ask you to come on here, say yes.
Yes, thanks.
Paladin is an advocate, and I think through my professional career from the time I was still in college through, I graduated during the recession, so I worked out of the field a little bit, and then getting back into high-end kind of residential stuff, I think you see, there are some egos involved sometimes. Sometimes people maybe don't appreciate the work that actually goes into someone else's job. And really, a house is a kit of parts, and it's like a whole group effort by a ton of individually talented people. And so when you have that hierarchy of someone feeling superior over someone else, if it's a client, if it's the architect, if it's the contractor, it doesn't matter who it is. So for me, that was really important to make sure that it was like a team environment. I also like to really be there for clients because I think the building process, the design process can be extremely overwhelming for them. And I, a lot of the times, act as kind of their teammate or counterpart, and then I'll help the contractor out too. So I'm kind of like that hinge pin to hopefully make it go a little better. So that's where that part of the paladin came from. But then because I was in Rome, a paladin was like a mansion on the hills of the Palatine Hill in Rome. Yeah. So I was reading it in a book at the time or heard it on a podcast, and I like looked it up, the meaning. I was like, paladin. I looked it up and I saw both of those meanings, and I was literally trying to name my business at the time. I'm like, that's it. Like, I was just waiting for that word to kind of come through, and so that's how that happened.
I love that story. Gosh. I always love the origin of names and the meaning behind it, because it is always something super personal that's not really obvious, but then you get to the root of it, and it's just, I love it. How long have you had Paladin?
It'll be 4 years this summer.
That's amazing. And so you started in residential, or did you start in commercial? Because you do both. Which one did you start?
I used to kind of say I was like a design prostitute. Like, I will do whatever you want me to do and pay you for.
Oh my gosh. I love this better than the name now.
Was that on your business card?
Yeah. Maybe I should do like hashtag design prostitute.
Hilarious.
I mean, honestly, at the time, like, I even had a local realtor who was so kind. I had my real estate license, but I didn't use it. So I was like, well, I'll use it as a resource. So I'd go talk to realtors and be like, I'll help you stage a home. Or like, I was just really trying to get out there. And he's like, I'll hire you. Do you know how to use Excel? You can come in and... I mean, he was going to have me do office work, whatever it was. Wow. It just kind of helped me kind of get out there. So, you know, I really felt like it was kind of like I had to be a little scrappy and say, like, use whatever skills I had over the time. So I think that let me do a lot of different kind of projects. And it's a little contradictory when I do these, like, business training, like, videos or certificates online. They're like, okay, you need to have your thing that you do and do it. I'm like, okay, could, but then I'm also, I like doing this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like one of the random things that kind of came up was, an urban group in South Bend where they're trying to kind of renovate and change some of the scenery, some of the old neighborhoods we have, like River Park and Miami Village. They did it on Western, so it was like city involvement. So I ended up meeting some of the people involved with that, and I've been working with them. I think this is my third year with them, and it's their facade grant. So they actually give the property owners money and they match it to get the facades back to have a really great neighborhood. Oh. And to bring business in. So like for me to say I'm an interior designer and then I'm like helping mm-hmm. a facade program, it seems a little far-fetched, but it's because of my background and all that.
You have an architectural degree.
Yeah.
So there is, yeah, that initial first love and some of that, which is a little bit maybe less interior, but like you said, the facade or like even yes. some of the structural part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. The structural part makes me want to poke my eyes out, but I will help it look good. That's really what I love. And one of my passions, because of the school I went to, we learned of urbanism, like walk scores, like where do you live? Where can you walk to? How do you feel? Like, it's all a whole sense. And I lived in Savannah, and I mean, there's a park in every neighborhood there because that's how they designed the city. So I really love helping shape people's life like that. I love to see the local business owners kind of get into it, you know, and I've met so many people through that program that it's like, it's kind of like my like cheat job where like, it's kind of more of like a passion project where I probably shouldn't be doing it to focus on other stuff, but I really love it.
No, but
and
that
I love
helps.
The people
Gosh.
I work with.
Yes.
I love the mission of it. And so, yeah, it's fun to have given myself that chance to kind of branch out. And now I can be a little bit more selective to say, these are the ones I want to do. And then I did meet, you know, there's a group of like I guess, what do they call themselves? Hospitality group. So they own a bunch of like wineries and breweries and stuff. I work with them for years. I get to help with like the conceptual stuff up front. And it's like the most amazing kind of feeling to be around this group of people that are so creative and so excited about all their ideas. I mean, I leave their meetings and I'm like pumped. I'm like on my car phone with my mom. I'm like, you know, these people are so exciting. And like, so I love that I didn't pigeonhole myself into the one thing because it's really invigorating. And I've made so many like contacts with people that I love to work with throughout the different kind of projects.
Yeah. But those projects then can be so, they're life-giving for you. They're life-giving to the people who are doing those projects. They're so amped and jazzed about what they're creating. Like you said, you like people, you like to create spaces that help enrich somebody else's life. So they're creating, I mean, we love ourselves a good winery and brewery mm-hmm. and all of this. So so they're creating that environment, which is going to have this, all these memories are going to be made.
Yes.
And then you can take that into other projects and other spaces. So I think that's incredible that you didn't. I feel like that happens a lot, though, that we hear in every industry is like niche down, like what are you really, really good at? So I respect the fact that you are just like, hey, I want to do what I like to do. I want to do what brings people joy. I want to do what, where I can collaborate the most, where I can have the most impact, because I feel like sometimes people niche down too much and then they pigeonhole themselves.
Yeah. And I think the thing that ended up working really well was I kind of had to realize over the couple years what of each thing I enjoyed. And there was one component that could come out and I sub it out now. And it's all the structural stuff, you know. So that's helped me still be able to do all these other things. And I know at the beginning of businesses are always like, you need to, if it's going to help you hire a cleaning lady, if it's going to help you hire an accountant and all that stuff. And it seems so unattainable. But when you kind of step back and can analyze like, oh, yeah, this is the part that's awful. Or, like, I used to not bill for a very long time, and I was like, okay, I think I need money now. And I like sent all these invoices out. And now, oh my gosh, I have two people that work with me, and the one is new for a newer kind of portion of the company coming up. But Miss Katie, shout out Katie, is amazing. We were lucky to be friends first, and so we ended up working together. And she is, I tell her, like, hopefully every day that she's godsend, because she has taken all that stuff for me and is so good at it. Like, yeah. So much better than I could have even imagined, that I can focus even more. So that was part of, like, analyzing. And it was scary to hire somebody. It was so scary. I put it off for so long. And then it was like, she's so good at it and has made me so much happier literally every day in my life.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's just, you know, trial and error. And
I love that. Good job, Katie.
Yeah.
But that is so important. That's what we say too, is like, you know, outsource on our, you know, on our business, outsource the things it's not bringing out the best in you. Focus on what you can do, like, right? That the things that you can do more of what you love, and whether that's vocational or personal. So outsourcing within your business. So you could, I'm sure there are things that you do that Katie, that there's only things that Molly can do. Right. And so if you're trying to do everything and be everything to everybody, then you're having a hard time actually pleasing all of your clients or doing great work that you're really satisfied with. So I think that's amazing. And I think that's a key takeaway, is if you don't have to start with outsourcing everything, but be aware that it's not, like you said, it was tough, right? So, but it doesn't mean anything. Like there's no weakness in that. And I think that comes up a lot, where it's like, we should be able to do it all, right? And do everything.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, her fresh eye has made so many of the things I had before a million times better. So it's like, not only did she take stuff off of my plate, but she just redid the website. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, and she surprised me. And it's like next level. I'm not even kidding. Like, I think for the experience of someone coming into the business and how she interacts with them has like completely changed my client's experience. So awesome. It's really, you know, I'm not even kidding. I wake up with the song Jesus Take the Wheel almost every day in my head. And I think it's because I'm just like, whatever's going to happen. And I wake up and I'm like singing the song.
Just have it on your phone.
What do I dream about? Yeah.
Like, that should be your
probably
song.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's because it's like, sometimes you just have that gut feeling, but you have to trust other people, and you have to have followed your gut feeling long enough. But know that you're also like stifling yourself if you don't take those chances sometimes. So that chance has paid tenfold already.
Yeah.
And she started working last fall. So
that's amazing. Well, I'm excited to see that. We'll mention it again, but we're excited to see the website. So it's paladindesignhouse.com. So
thanks, girl. Sorry, I just slurped my straw too.
Yeah, can't wait to see that. But then, okay, so in the actual process, so tell us is this a new build or a renovation? When would somebody hire an interior designer? Or when would somebody hire you? Like, how does somebody go about that, or knowing when they're ready for that? Like, that's the outsourcing part we're talking about, right?
Sure.
Like, not taking that on yourself. Like, we see Pinterest, we see all Instagram. Well, I'll buy this, I'll buy that. Okay, well, how do we really know when it's not our gift, and when to, I mean, I'm sure we know.
When you start crying and you're like, this is way too much for me.
Or this is ugly, right?
What was that chick's number again?
Well, it's 574. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, 574.
So I get a lot of people at different points. I know we were just talking about a mutual client we had that kind of brought me in halfway, where she had already been working with a different person. And so I can kind of come in if you're like, well, I thought I could do this, or I thought I had this plan and I really just need your assistance. Kind of A1. Best case scenario is like very beginning, as early as you could get a designer involved, because there are a lot of things that, you know, I get to the level where I've changed people's floor plans. We have a Lake Home in Elkhart right now where we worked together for like a year and a half before the builder was ever involved. So we completely redid their floor plan. It's kind of a shotgun house. There's very interesting spaces and angles. And we knew each other so well in and out that now we're down to furniture and rugs. Wow. Like, we've worked together for so long that she's like, yep, got it. Or she told me she was at a meeting today and I couldn't be there. And they said something and she said, no, Molly already said no. We're going to do. So you kind of create this bond. So the earlier you can do that and really talk about what side you like to have your drink when you're watching the football game and where that floor plug should be versus, you know, oh, my son's really tall. I don't want him to head on his head on this island light or whatever. Like, we get into that intimate level. So we can design at a very superficial level too. That could come later. But if you're planning on building, even if it's redecorating a room, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if you feel like you're at a point and you know that level of room you want it to be and you don't know if you could do it yourself, pay for a consultation. Just ask questions and see if it's even something that you want to take on. Mm-hmm. If it's the level you thought it was going to be, harder or easier, if you like that person. I think if you do hire a designer, you should feel very comfortable with them. Even if it's towards the second, third meeting, you might, you know, kind of get into that groove a little bit more, but you should be able to kindly bring up your concerns and have that open dialogue with them and not be told what to do, but really work together with that. So I think one of the things I hear over and over from clients that the benefit of not only maybe making choices that they wouldn't have made before is that it's kind of a peace of mind that they have somebody looking out for them, or even to just voice their choices to say, I like that one, but this one's better because. So just having that kind of friend through the process is, I think, a big part of having a designer.
I second that, because like you mentioned, our mutual client, and she told us she was so pleased to have you on the team helping her, because you were helping her make choices that she wouldn't have made, and she was so excited and so pleased with that, that it gets somebody out of their comfort zone. Because I think you had mentioned even something that you were bringing in as far as a wallpaper sample or something that you had designed, and you have access or you have a design eye for things that I think and I'm just going to like kind of clump everybody together. Just the average Joe has the website or internet, right? Or like Amazon, or where do I shop for this stuff? And right. You have access to all these other shops or stores mm-hmm. that are in other cities. And I think that opens up a client's eye to see like, oh my gosh, you know, yes, I would have never discovered that or found that mm-hmm. in my backyard or over at Lowe's or wherever.
Right.
I had a follow-up question on when to hire an interior designer, but how do people, because we get this sometimes too, as far as, you know, a cost issue, as far as explaining to people, you know, how do you help with that, alleviate sort of maybe that speed bump that they encounter as their thought process of, well, it's just too expensive to hire somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Because we encounter that too. Yeah. And I think it's really important to let everybody know that, I mean, your time is so valuable. I have a friend who always says like, time is a currency, right? And mm-hmm. so the time that you're spending trying to do all of this yourself, hiring a professional is so worth it. But how to let somebody know that, I don't know, I'll let you.
Yeah, I think some of it comes with age and time. A lot of my clients are of the similar type age range. So I would say like 40s, 50s, maybe 60s, like earlier 60s. I just had clients that were 82, both of them. Mm-hmm. And then I do have some younger ones, and I really think that the bulk of them are that age because they've built enough houses, they have experienced the stresses of building, they have maybe kids that are grown out, and they're getting into this house where they know they're going to be for a long time for this part of their life. So I think that they see the value that they want to do it right. Mm-hmm. They know how they want to feel when they're there. They want to have quality fabrics, or they want to have the space laid out because they've lived in houses for 20 years where they hated the layout, mm-hmm. or however that that kind of pans out. So I think that was that's the big thing. I do have younger clients, and I think that maybe they've been exposed to, through their professional life or travels or other things, like they really value how a space feels. And I think that's how I try and design, like, when you walk into this room, how do you feel? Do you feel cozy? Do you feel happy? Do you feel like you want to sit and read a book? Like, try and evoking that. And so I think when the other people that come in that younger age range, like, they know how that feels, and they want to feel that every day at home. Mm-hmm. So they can see that value, because they're like, yeah, I tried before. Maybe not that good at it. Yeah. Or I realized when I was picking this stuff out, it was already dated by the time I got it into my home. Like, discerning what's coming, what will stay, just even knowing about the different kind of materials going into a home, the difference between an LVT and a hardwood or an engineered, or quartz and a solid, you know, surface natural stone.
Oh, sure.
So there's a lot of different things that just even in a very casual conversation, they're like, oh my God, you know, I go to these vendors and they are talking in a language I don't understand.
Yep. Yeah.
So if they've experienced that, I think it's very helpful for them to be like, yeah, I'm going to have somebody help me with this time.
I love that. I think that that's so key. And we'll talk about, you were just sort of mentioning some material and some thoughts, and when somebody potentially gets something in and they enter their home and they're like, I don't even like it anymore. So we'll talk about some design trends.
Wait, quartz, granite, or marble, what is your top?
Okay, so I would. This is a very loaded question. Quartz, I would say, would be for most people the best thing, because it's naturally antimicrobial. You are supposed to be able to put hot pod on there and it's not supposed to crack. There are some that do. They are doing a really good job. So it's actually crushed stone, like kind of rebuilt into a solid surface. So it's got like a man-made polymer type thing that holds all those pieces of stone together. Mm-hmm. But the way they make them now is a lot more depth driven. So it looks like a piece of marble with veining, or it looks like these natural stones are trying to make it look. So it's supposed to be this like above and beyond version. Mm-hmm. I personally love old marble. I like the way it patinas, soapstone. I love old doorways that have like the groove, you know, over time how things kind of age. But if you want your counter to be very, very, very clean and sharp and shiny forever, you're probably going to go with the quartz. Okay. Because if you set your red wine glass, it's going to stain your marble.
Oh, like, no, not up in this house.
So it just depends what you're going for. But okay. And then there's some, when you hear granite, you're like, okay, you know, builder grade kind of stuff. But there's one going in a client's house right now on the river in Niles, and it looks like the river. This island granite is gorgeous. Whoa. And it's leathered, so it's like a little bit of a texture, and it's not shiny. It's like, wow. You want to lick it. Like, it's gorgeous.
So many different kinds.
This is that's a great question, because
thank you.
I don't ask very many, but thank you.
But we hear so many horror stories about a build process, but then this actually, you're moving on to a new drink.
Oh yeah.
No, you're fine. You know, a build process is so long, or they missed their deadline and all mm-hmm. these things. But when you describe this particular kitchen that now I want to see it in with the countertop, that makes me excited. So for everybody listening out there, I feel like having somebody like you on the team keeps the project and the energy
absolutely
happy or positive, because it's so overwhelming. But yeah, good question, because now we've talked about this, about building houses, and I'm like, I would never do that. It sounds so hard because it's so frustrating. And now I'm like, can I see this? Like, I think I really want to.
But you would hire Molly.
Oh my gosh.
Because, just talking with her and like making that experience just like in full.
I think that's for sure.
Taking that pressure off of all the stress and everything. You could just chit chat with you and just be like, listen, I'm not having a good day. These vendors are, you'd be like, okay, now listen.
That's exactly what happens. The one client with that I love her to death. She gave me a hug after we picked that slab.
Oh.
We met for wine last week. Like, you really do become part of the process and part of that person's life.
We have the same thing.
Yeah, so this is just home in general. Like, being a in this type of home interior business. I mean, yes, you're an interior designer, but like when we're going into people's homes and we have this connection, it's like that's their most vulnerable space, yes. Right? Like that's their domain. And when they're letting us in, then it's like everything is told. And it's, you know, just from certain questions that you ask, and we're like, well, that went, you know, somewhere. And we're like, but that's cool because that actually helps us gain more of a relationship with you. And so then, like you said, like this, the sun's tall or whatever. And it's just like, you don't think about those things, but you have to know kind of the whole family or who's living in this space, what's going to work for you. So that is interesting.
Yeah. You guys probably get to see a lot of crazy stuff though. When you're organizing, people keep stuff shut when I'm there.
You're going to see all the behind the scenes. We do work really well together because we need you and vice versa. Like, we can't do what you do. So we do have a really good collaborative partnership, which
our brains are not the same at all, which is so,
it's
your eye, besides your brain, your eye is just like on point.
Thank you.
Yeah. What would you say is your, we can talk about design inspiration, but what's the overall vibe? I know that you work with clients, and so it's like if you walk into their home, they may have a coastal feel, or they may be really modern or very industrial. So what is the overall vibe of Paladin? What would you say? Why would somebody seek you out when they come to your site? How do you describe your vibe?
I would definitely say that if you want something trendy that's probably going to be out in a couple years, I would not be your girl. Mm-hmm. My mix is definitely, sometimes it's based on the architecture of the home. I would say that I would love for the space to feel like it's part of that house so that that longevity goes with it. It's definitely 100% always client driven. And then it's me decoding that to the finishes, the feel, and kind of really understanding what they're really saying to me when they say they like certain things. Because they probably have one vision in their mind and mine's going a whole other spot. And so as long as how they wanted to live and those things are still there, and then they're like, oh my gosh, that's not what I had in my head, and this is so much more. So I try and explain that textures, materials, you know, using those things in a way to create that space. And I always try and tell a story. So if you walk into the space and you feel a certain way in the foyer versus the kitchen versus the bedroom, I had three houses in one neighborhood, in Harbor Shores up in, St. Joe, Benton Harbor area. And they were all built around the same time. And I did the one house, which is like the first one I had on my website. And they loved that we picked stuff they wouldn't have picked, that it was such a mix of all the textures and fun things. And then I did two more in that neighborhood after that. And they each had their own personality. One had a bunch of little kids and they were in Chicago. This was their lake house. So we had kind of fun. Like, we had this really cool anthropology sofa with some like old textiles, you know, mixed in. Then the house next to it was an older couple and it was their forever home. So we had more muted tones, but the textures, patterns, and kind of playing with those things really went through all three houses. You could probably tell the same designer did all three, but it's creating that story, using vintage pieces along with new ones, and focusing on the materials and finishes, I think is really how I would create a space that would be different from any other person. I mean, we're all different, so mm-hmm. we're never going to do the same mm-hmm. thing, but that's always my goal with all my projects.
Sure. Yeah, I love that. I love the mixing. What's your favorite to mix, patterns or metals?
I kind of do both. Okay. And I really think, to me, it's about balance.
Okay. Are there any hard and fast rules to steer clear from when going after either one of those categories?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think in your head, you have to make sure, like, for example, would you have oil rub bronze with a bright, shiny chrome? Maybe not.
Right.
But it could work. But I like a polished nickel is a lot warmer of a silver. It's still shiny. It's still got that silver look, but it has a lot more of that warm tone. So that might work better if you're doing kind of that middle tone. You don't want the bright, vibrant white or the, you know, a lot of people like grays if it has that blue tone. So it's really about kind of just training your eye to see, like, I don't like that. Why don't I like that? Sure. What about it? And the other thing that I think is very helpful, I always make mood boards for each room and has everything in it. It has the hardware, it has the counter, the wall, the, you know, if we're doing the interior selection such as furniture and rugs, I have everything there. So you see all the things together and it's super easy to see if one thing sticks out like a sore thumb, it gets shut off and we find something else. So I would just not be afraid to do it and give yourself a little bit of grace and room to experiment as far as even just in the planning stage. And if you get it up there and you don't like it, you know, kind of try and take it back. Jesus, take the wheel. Start singing the song.
That's the theme of this podcast. I had two questions that I was writing down and thinking about that. So when you start a mood board, what's the very first piece that you start with?
It depends. Okay. Sometimes clients come to me and they have some of their furniture already. And you know, sometimes when we do a project, it's just the floor plan. Sometimes it's just the hard interiors that when you move, you don't take with you, the tile, the lighting, the casework design, you know, all those things. And then, the furniture and art, sometimes it's a mix of all of them. So if there's something particular, I have a client right now that's bringing a lot of her pieces and she has antiques from her family and we kind of
had just decor.
Yeah, okay. We had parsed some of that out. So, like, that kind of set the vibe because she has this really pretty, like, black antique secretariat. So that helped me. It's a very open concept with the dining chairs that you're going to see in the same space, just kind of, like, playing it together. I typically try and do rugs later because I've got all the other stuff going, and then that's the last piece. It's like the patchwork to kind of get all the rooms. But I would say a lot of time people know what they want in the kitchen, even if it's like, I want a color cabinet, but I don't know what color. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Or I want a white cabinet, or I want white with the wood island or whatever. So there are things that they're going to tell you that that's how you start. So I would just write those things like, I like this or this, even getting that either or, you can maybe do two scenarios and kind of see which one you end up really liking.
And then when they see it, they might be like, oh my gosh, I don't even like that.
Yep.
Earlier you had mentioned, you know, you would encourage experimenting. What are some things that would be an easy thing for people to experiment with? Is that going to be colors? Is that going to be pillows? Is that going to be rugs? Like the decor, the metal, what where you're like, hey, this is kind of where you can sort of experiment and see and being cost effective, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So kind of a fun, very recent example last weekend, my parents have a fifth wheel camper and they are so excited to go on this 2-week trip this summer. And so my mom said, help me redecorate. And so we just went to in town and went to a bunch of places. And when she liked something, I kind of cataloged it and we put it in the cart and then this and this. So they maybe at the time didn't seem like they'd go together, and we ended up with carts of stuff and we edited some out, and the ones that are left, she's like, I would never put them together. Oh, wow. So then she had this pillow that had a little bit of like a sparkle in it, and then she had this other thing that was very warm and textural. And so, you know, just something like that. Go through the store, put a bunch of crap in your cart, and get it. Find the ones that don't work, or find the ones that you're not in love with as much as you thought, and just kind of see. And if you don't like anything, put it back. But that's like a really free, fun exercise, right?
That's probably how Home Goods is the way it is.
Right.
People put things in their cart,
right,
and like everywhere. They just take a picture, like, yep, I'm out of here. And the workers are like, great, I gotta put all this stuff back.
It was Susan again.
Where's Nancy? Karen? Damn it, she comes in here once a week.
I think that's great advice, though. I like that, to where you said put a bunch of crap in your cart. Put it all in your cart, though. But I think so often, even when we're shopping, we'll put something in and we'll try to piece together this potential room with three pieces versus seeing the whole thing in this portable mood board, if you will. get everything in, see what your favorites are, and then start editing out. Yes. And then you'll be left with sort of this overall maybe design of what that space might look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's good advice. What about what's the hardest piece then that you find if you save the – I always hear that rugs are the hardest. They're the rugs and they curtains are the hardest for me, and I don't even – I don't even know what I'm doing. But what's the hardest piece for you?
It's true. She doesn't
know
what the heck she's doing. you should see her inventory downstairs. She's the type that just keeps it. And she's like, I'll switch it out.
I like that. That's good. You got to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I do.
Don't encourage it.
Don't encourage it. No, I need to encourage it.
That is very organized.
You know, honestly, I don't think I ever run into something that would be hard as far as...
Like if somebody comes to you and says, this is the rug, like this is the end, or like this is
like a statement piece?
This is the bed frame. I have this bed. You need to design it around this bed. Is it the hardest piece is when they already have something that doesn't have texture, or that's more something like that?
Okay, so I love to kind of forage estate sale. Like, I love buying old furniture. I've done it since I was a little girl. I remember my mom and I when I was very little, like, stripping an old chair we found in my grandparents' barn and reupholstering it. So I think I've, like, over the years gotten my eye to a spot where I can find something good about a piece. But then there are pieces that are, like, it looks chintzy, or the lines are bad, or it's just... it doesn't have what this house needs. I think the hard part is just then telling them, you need to have this. And it's
not going
to
work.
In a very encouraging way of like, I get why you like it. If it's something emotional, we're going to keep it. We're going to make it work. But yeah, just kind of telling them like, okay, here are your options for it. What is it you love about it? Is there another way we could use it? Or it's like probably having a relationship. Like, you've got to be able to kind of work together and be able to have that really good conversation. I don't think anything's been hard as far as like, you know, maybe bringing that stuff up. I could see how, as if you were going to do it yourself, rugs are hard for people. It can be intimidating that you need to get all the same ones. And in a home, a lot of them, we have four spaces in a row. You could have a foyer, dining, living, sunroom, all in one line eye of sight. And so I look at the texture, I look at the colors, and I look at the pattern and the scale of that pattern. If there's two patterns too close, they're probably going to fight. If you have a kind of a similar color scheme going through, it helps draw your eye, and then it slowly can go from this really beautiful floral to a solid to a stripe to a smaller, like, not geometric, but maybe like a dotted or something, where they speak to each other, but they're not the same.
They're not competing, and they're not competing. For the,
yeah.
And so I really like that you brought that up too, as far as things that are in eyesight or things that are not in eyesight. And I think about lighting. Lighting is a little tough. So when you can see through a space, and I understand the explanation for rugs. So for lighting, is that the same sort of vibe to where are lights supposed to match, or are they supposed, every space, like an eat-in kitchen, I'm thinking about my house downstairs, so like an eat-in kitchen and like the light over the kitchen island or pendants, or are they, how different are things supposed to be, or what's the rule of thumb for lighting?
I would say I have never professionally picked from the same family, right? Like when you go and they say this family of lights has a three light island light and they've got this pendant, like I personally wouldn't do that. The things that it should be like if you buy art or the way you buy clothes. I've learned over the years what pieces I could walk into a store and say, oh, I like that, that's cute. Well, it's going to hang on a hanger. I had to walk in and be like, oh my God, I got to walk out of here with this sweatshirt, whatever the heck it is. I'm speaking about Target because they have cute sweatshirts. you know, I think you have to learn when that hits you. And I probably am a little more emotional about things like that than maybe the average person. But, you know, so if you see this island light and that's the one and you're like, oh, I love that light. I don't know what it is about it, but it's super cool. I'm vibing with it.
I have this table next to it. What can be complementary without being like matchy-matchy? You know, buying a bedroom set that's matchy-matchy. Sometimes people like that and they love it, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You do you, whatever you want to do if you love that. I like that interest. I like the story between things. You could get a vintage light fixture for there that has been old and patinaed in a particular way. You can't buy a new light fixture, but it goes because this pendant has like an old wood or, you know, so create, it's about that story and how you want that room to feel. And I think if they fit that storyline of those spaces, that I would just, I think people think they have to follow rules. And I think people think that it has to fall in this line. Like, just like people think in life, I have to go work in this office 9 to 5 and I have to do this and I'm going to retire at this age. Like, you can break out of those rules, do what you love.
Love this.
If you feel comfortable with it, and even if you get it up and you're like, next time I do this a little different, that's it's fine. But, you know, give yourself a little bit more freedom and room and don't worry about what other people think about it.
Yeah.
It's your house.
Amen. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I think that too often we look, you know, for inspiration and then we think we like it. And like you said, with the clothing example, I love it. You know, shoot, it's going to sit on the hanger for a little bit. So when you're going and buying something or helping design or in your own space, what is speaking that story? And it's your personal story, right? So it's not even trying to tell a story to somebody or somebody else's story in your home. What is that? I think that's so powerful to design based on, I mean, what is particular to you?
Yes, absolutely.
What about paint colors? What are your thoughts on, like, what is a basic, like, what's a, I know these, there's no rules. There's no rules out there and you can't mess anything up. But I feel like we've covered some of the biggies, like paint and, or flooring and lighting. Paint's always a big one.
Yes.
What's your rule on paint? Any rule. I'll take any rule. Yeah. Or is there no rule?
Well, I would say maybe not rules, but again, it's about how you want to feel. And looking at something, if you need to hire an expert or even go to Sherwin-Williams or Benjamin Moore, they have people that will help you. And if you say, I'm really bad at picking colors, I always pick some that are too bright. I always pick a white. I want a white, but I pick out the whites that are like insane asylum white, and I wanted to be a little more calm. They can help you if you can naturally kind of pick those. There are whites that have blue undertones that are a little bit more jarring, maybe for a kitchen or, you know, a space. Some people like that, and it looks really cool on Instagram. People put filters on, and then, you know, when they used to do the behind the scenes, they got all their kids crap. Like, I think there should be a lot more openness of real life because they're putting these expectations out there. Look at my clean, white, austere, you know, house. And the reality is when you're in that space without the lighting of that photo, it probably doesn't feel as great as it did look in that photo. So you want to make sure that if you like the white walls, try like 10 different whites. If you want to buy the swatches and or the little cans and try it out, get some that on the paint, there's going to be like strips of paint on your fan, and they're going to be look like cream, like white, the like a yellowy color. If you think you might like it, it's still going to look white up there. You just need to see which one you like. When they do those white cards, they have a big difference. And so you might think, no, that's actually yellow. Why is that on the white card? But they all are going to be white. It's just the sunlight, your lighting, you know, what you use the space for. So just, again, give yourself a little bit more room to be more experimental. Don't fall into the trap of, like, if I do white, it's got to be decorator's white because that's what everybody uses. Well, yeah, but that's also, like, you know, it's like the color of your guy's marker board. You know? It's a white.
It's too much.
I like to, again, design around the mood. So if you want a more warm, cocoony bedroom or an office, or I love a moody powder room. Like, give me the fun stuff in there.
I am just doing this in that powder room downstairs. Well,
I want to.
I said I really want to go really dark and moody in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the lighting.
She wants it.
I want it to be really like dim, like like a lighting. Oh my gosh.
I love it. Fun mirror, maybe wallpaper, dark cabinet, dark whatever. And that's where you can kind of go in, and maybe if you have guests, you're like not at a restaurant that has a cool bathroom. They're going in there, and it's an experience. So I think definitely think about how you want the space to feel, And then give yourself a few options within that circle of, there's a million grays, dark gray. I have to say, I don't do like a light gray wall. I'm just not up my alley. But if I was going to do something really moody, I'd look like a really warm, dark gray, kind of charcoal-y color. There was something else I was going to say about paint. Oh, if you like art or you like to display things, I think a really warm kind of white-ish color is really good way. Sometimes people may be afraid that it feels stark, mm-hmm. but it's actually very warm and your art pops. And if you have beautiful curtains or for your furniture, that stuff can then kind of stick out. You don't have to have like a color on your wall to have a color.
Sure.
Don't be afraid to have that throughout your house and really accentuate your fun finds that you have.
I'm so excited not to do the bathroom because this is...
Well, now you have a professional talking to you saying, like, you're in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What are some things, some trends out there that are trends that we all know the trends are, you know, everybody has an idea maybe what they are, but where you're just like, stop doing this, right?
Like, I think it's the Instagram look. It's mm-hmm. the Pinterest. Everybody wants the same thing, the light gray. And this is honestly, I'm not even kidding. It's been over 10 years that stuff's been in. And so the fact that it's like hanging on, it's like kind of like, good job.
You've lasted this long, but. Because I'm not sure why.
And it's fine. It's just, it can feel very cold to me. It mm-hmm. feels like you're getting ready to sell your house. When you can put your own personal touch on it, it's amazing. Do your own tile that you like. Put the whatever it is, you know. But I think if you, the trend is to follow a trend. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. You should have fun in your space. You should feel really inspired and happy.
So that was my next question, was less of that and more of. So besides more of like your own personal, your personality coming through in your home, is there anything particular where you're like, man, I wish more homes had this? Like darker colors? Like what? Anything at all where you're like, ooh, I really like this and I wish more homes went more in this direction?
I think looking back at travels you've had, homes you've been in that you love, like I always love going to, we never had a lake house. We weren't like super cool and bougie, but when I would get to go to other people's lake houses growing up and it was their grandma's and it'd been in their family, like it had a feeling.
Yeah.
So it's that lake house. If you had a home, then I had a ton of people in high school, their moms were really big into antiques and they had natural wood and they had antiques and it wasn't anything crazy, but they knew how to edit it. And I think they followed their own compass with those things. And so mm-hmm. I think that I wish more people would let their house be their house. You can definitely take tips and ideas from other people, but like make it be a piece of your puzzle. Don't have it be the whole puzzle. So if you have a lake house, it doesn't have to look like everybody else's. It should feel like your family's. It should feel warm and cozy and have all those memories. So
I love that. I could talk to you all day, but I, I mean, I'm like sketching and writing notes down, and I know you're just like, what are you? Stop asking so many questions.
No, not at all.
But
don't speak for me.
No, but I love this stuff. And I know don't have a whole lot of time, but you have a whole other section you wanted to chat about.
Well, I just, thank you. Sorry. Hello, everybody. It's Kayla again.
I know.
Well, at least this gives Molly a little time to take a sip of her drink, at least. She's probably a little parched. I mean, really, I'm good with all that. I'm interested on what's new to come. And
I know, I'm sorry, I bogart the conversation, but like the design stuff fascinates me. So this was a guest that I was really excited to have on. I love you. I love your little dimples. And
I've already said that. You have to find something else, okay?
Guys,
she was my friend first.
Yeah, I know. You guys, I love her.
Yes.
So, yeah, you can find Molly, check out her work, hire her. She does amazing, amazing work. She's so fun to watch on Instagram. Follow her on her website at paladindesignhouse.com. Follow her on Instagram. She's at paladin, underscore design underscore house. Did you change it?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. No, you changed your personal. Okay.
No, Katie did that.
Yeah.
Damn it, Katie. Yeah, I'm Molly Christine 85.
Okay.
So that's public, and sometimes work spills over.
Okay. I knew there were some changes there.
Yeah, we've got Paladin Design House with underscores between the words for the business. And then we're going to have a new one coming up maybe around June. So you guys can kind of follow along then and see what that whole thing.
Because we're not telling you.
I think that's it.
That's
a teaser. Uh-huh. So you need to follow her to figure out what that is. But we will say we had that chat earlier, and it's really exciting. So.
We got the inside treatment here.
You're going to want to follow everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I had so much fun.
This was so fun. Great. So we will definitely, I have a million questions because I have seasonal questions. We can have you on for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know that questions will continue to roll in too from listeners. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
Of course. Thanks for coming. And any questions, you guys can follow Molly and ask Molly. But if you... you don't need us to intervene at all.
No, but you could just say, hey, did you like this or not? You know, you could still DM us. We like those too. All right, well, let's go enjoy the rest of our cocktails.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. See ya.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe.